Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Church of Conscious Harmony, our midweek contemplative service. From this sacred space to your sacred space, we send the love of God wherever you may be and whenever you may be watching this service. Let's take a moment now in the silence to wish for this service to bless and speak to each of us in the way we might need, that the Spirit would use this service to feed us with beautiful influences. May it be so. And so we begin our service in the name of God transcendent, God immanent, and God omnipresent, the Holy Living Trinity. Amen. And now let us rest in the silence of God's love for 20 minutes of centering prayer. The scripture reading for this evening is taken from the book of Acts. Chapter 12. The word of God continued to spread and grow. After Barnabas and Saul completed their relief mission, they returned to Jerusalem, taking with them John, who is called Mark. Now there were in the church at Antioch prophets and teachers: Barnabas, Simeon, who is called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who was a close friend of Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul, for the work to which I have called them." Then, completing their fasting and prayer, they laid hands on them and sent them off. So they sent forth by the Spirit, went down to Seleucia, and from there sailed to Cyprus. When they arrived in Salamis, they proclaimed the word of God in the Jewish synagogues. May this journey nourish our journeys deeper into wisdom and love. Amen. The phrase that caught my attention from this passage is the idea that the word of God continued to spread and grow. And this suggests that the word of God is a kind of living and active, as the book of Hebrews puts it, that it is a force, that it is a influence, that it is a quality. And you can think about this in terms of a geographical spread, an XY axis out and in and deeper and higher, which is very helpful, I think, to think about it in that way. An analogy of this nature by which we can see human consciousness expanding and moving and growing is the fact that human beings in just the last 100 years, to be precise, 70 years to reach the highest place on the planet and 60 years ago to reach the lowest place on the planet. It's only been in the last 100 years that human beings had the ability to reach the highest place on this planet, Mount Everest, 29,035 feet in the early 50s. And then in 1960, in January, we're celebrating the 60th anniversary when Don Walsh and Jack Picard reached the lowest level on this planet in the Mariana Trench in the Western Pacific Ocean at 35,000 feet below the sea. That's about 7 Grand Canyons in depth. And so you can begin to see how human consciousness and ingenuity has taken a long time to do these feats. Many people never even thought about climbing Mount Everest. They just worshipped it. They just revered it. They never would have thought of going up there. And many people stood on the seashore or on boats on the Pacific Ocean and never thought about going down and exploring how deep this goes. Human consciousness was quite content to remain at ease and at peace, in a certain sense, just taking care of their survival needs, much less climbing a mountain or going swimming. It was hard enough to survive, much less be an adventurer. So it's only been in our era, the modern era, when we had the desire that created the drive, that created the ingenuity, that created the success of these missions. People obviously had tried in different ways. But it's an analogy that helps us see that sometimes growth is related to our ability to do something, and that is related to our level of consciousness. And so this is very interesting. It's said that when Christopher Columbus and the Cook expeditions and Vasco da Gama's, when these explorers went around the world and went to the Pacific Islands and other islands, that the islanders couldn't even see and recognize that there was a ship out there, a frigate of war, so to speak, because they had no conscious perception of what a frigate of war could even be. They didn't even see it. And this is a wonderful example for all of us, how much we see what we be. What we be, we see. And so it takes time sometimes for things to grow in such a way that we're able to receive them and do something that we may have otherwise never been able to do. So back to the word of God that's growing, that's expanding. You know, it's very interesting to ask the question, why didn't God just start out with Jesus? Why did God bother with calling Abraham and the nation of Israel? Why did God bother with Moses and all the prophets and all that bloodshed? Why did God bother with all of that? Why is the narrative starting all the way back there? Why not just start with Jesus? And if you can begin to ponder that question and recognize that that which is revealed for us when we are developmentally ready, when our level of consciousness is ready to receive that which is being revealed. And it's as if God was laying down the tracks, which is a phrase Tim Cook used to like to say. God was laying down the tracks across the continent, hopefully one day connecting New York with San Francisco. And once those tracks were laid down, the great engine of Christ, the great locomotive, could be placed on those tracks and could move forward and take a train of people called the church into the promised land. But they first had to lay the tracks down. And so in a certain sense, God is laying down the tracks from a theological perspective with all of this prior revelation, all of these prior teachings, all of the law, all of the Jewish faith, all of it was tracks being laid down so that growth of the Word of God could happen. And the Word of God was contained within the nation of Israel very nicely. It bore great fruit in the nation of Israel. The Word of God bore great fruit through the priests who ministered and articulated and taught and reflected on the Torah, Moses' writings. And the Word of God was actually growing and expanding. In other words, there was a time when we didn't have the Bible. It didn't drop out of heaven. There was a time when we had the first five books of Moses, five books, five scrolls, and then later were added writings like the book of Psalms, and then much later were added the prophets like Isaiah and Jeremiah. So there was a time when the book itself that we call the Bible didn't even exist. And so the book, in a certain sense, the book of the scriptures, was laying down the tracks and being laid down itself. And now we take it for granted, just like we take for granted that we've been to the highest place on the planet and the lowest place on the planet. And just last week I saw on the news that we've flown a helicopter on Mars. So the Word of God is growing and spreading. So too is human consciousness, not only on this planet now, but we are infecting the conscious sphere of other cosmos and other planets as well. All this to say that when we reach the turning point of the revelation of Jesus, we can also begin to ask the question, why didn't Jesus get the job done? In other words, why does the Word of God have to keep on growing after Jesus did his thing? Why didn't God just say, Jesus, once and for all, the Word of God is going to grow and spread all around and do its thing and complete its task so that it's over and done with? Jesus said it is finished from the cross, but it was just beginning. The Word of God was just about to begin, and that's what the season of Pentecost is all about, the spread of the Word of God, no longer just through a man named Jesus, no longer through a priestly class, no longer at the temple, but through anyone everywhere, all around the planet. And that powerful demonstration of the growth of the Word of God all around the world is still unfolding today. And here's the whole takeaway for us. It's, are we receiving that signal? Are we receiving that Word of God? Are we able to hear it as it grows and expands? And are we able to participate in its evolution and growth for the planet and for our lives? What part do you and I play in being receptacles of the influence of that Word of God that wishes to keep growing and expanding and evolving? Teilhard de Chardin called it the Omega, that God was this Omega, and as it were, the future drawing all things to itself, the Omega destination, the Omega point. And in the Bible, it's referred to as the Alpha and the Omega, that Jesus is the Alpha and the Omega. Or you might say that the Word of God is the Alpha and the Omega. In the beginning, God spoke, and at the end, God speaks again and creates the new heavens and the new earth. And so however you conceive of this, we are living in a time where we have teachings like Teilhard de Chardin, like Ilya Delio, who is articulating the evolutionary nature of consciousness and how consciousness shapes physical substance on this planet, including our brains and our bodies. And so you just might ask yourself, what is the Word of God growing toward? What is the Word of God wishing to do and grow in each of us? How is it expanding us? And eye has not seen or mind comprehended what it is that God has yet in store for us. And the First John talks about the fact that we will know and see and experience God as if face to face in the future. And so this possibility of our future development, our potential for participating in the growth of the Word of God becomes extraordinarily personal at the psychological level. And that is one of the reasons why I have so cherished the teachings of this church and the writings of Maurice Nicol in particular, because it gave me the how. It gave me the how that I was lacking so much in my other prior religious formation. And in a certain sense, when I came upon the teachings of Maurice Nicol and the teachings of the work, it was as if I had just reached the highest place on the planet and the deepest place on the planet. It was as if I had reached a threshold that I had always believed was possible but never knew how to get, and all of a sudden it changed my life. Just as we can never be the same because we've been to Mount Everest summit and we've been down in the Mariana Trench depths, we can never be the same because we've experienced something that is life-altering and we'll never see the world the same. But the work gave me the how to be a participant in the growth of the Word of God in my life psychologically and in my life relationally and in my life culturally related to external reality. The teachings of the work have given me the how that answers so many of the profound commands of the Bible: to love your neighbor as you love yourself, to love God as you love yourself, to forgive your neighbor 70 times 7, to be at peace. All of these injunctions that came at that level of consciousness but didn't come with instructions on how to do it. It created a great dilemma for Western civilization because the how was imposed by hierarchies and laws. And we know that until the human heart is touched, no external law will enable you to forgive or to love or to be sacrificial. That comes from within. And whether you ever get exposed to the work or not, the Word of God is alive and active. And if you connect up with the whatever energetic influence of the Word of God you're able to receive, if you are a good steward of the seed that is sown in your heart, mind, and body, it will multiply and it will expand and it will draw greater and greater and greater influences of the Word of God to you. But if you reject it or are hard-hearted to it, you will not receive anything. In fact, you might be taken from. That which is given might be taken away. In other words, becomes useless. And there's plenty of parables in the New Testament that teach us the parable of the talents. What you've been given by the grace of God needs to be cooperated with and used so that you can be a participant of that Word of God. But I guess the good news is just start where you are. Start with whatever part of the Word of God will land in your heart and take root. And that little root will bear good fruit. And from there, we'll just keep expanding and growing. We can't all start out speaking different languages. We each start out learning one little alphabet from our mom and dad. And if we make good effort, and if we're exposed to the right influences, we might learn a second language. So we start where we are, and we're good stewards of that one language, then God will give us another language, the language of silence. And that, friends, is for another sermon. You've heard what I've had to say. Let's take a moment in the silence to allow the Spirit to be seeding in your life whatever is the Word of God for you today. May the Word of God dwell in each of our hearts richly and reveal to us the nature of reality more completely, and the ways in which we are being called to be made into Christ itself. We pray this through and for the sake of Christ on this planet. Amen. Each week we have the privilege of giving to the church that feeds us spiritually. We take our tithes, gifts, and offerings into our consciousness or into our hands. And whether we give online or whether we give by sending a check to the church, or in the basket, let's remember this truth together. God's love has always met and will always meet all my needs. I give freely and receive joyfully, and how blessed we are to simply remember God. And we dedicate all the tithes, gifts, and offerings to the victory of consciously chosen love in each of our lives and on this planet over the lies of separation and our useless acting out from fear. Amen. I invite you now to close your eyes and to enjoy the influence of the beautiful Word of God through music. I invite you to partake in the bread when I do, and I will share in the cup for all of us. Let us pray. Abba, we thank you that we know you hear us now, and that we know you always hear us. It's you who are giving us words, you who are teaching us to pray, and you who are giving us faith to pray in, that lets us know and be certain that you always hear and answer when we ask. Abba, we ask. Pour out your Spirit on these elements, that we may recognize them, receive them, and respond to them as the body and blood of your Son, the living Christ. Let them communicate his body to our bodies and his blood to our blood. Fill us with your Holy Spirit and transform us into your love. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. During supper on the night he was handed over to death, Jesus took bread, and having said the blessing, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and eat it. This is my body, which shall be given up for you. This is the body of Christ." When supper was ended, he took the cup, and again he gave God thanks and praise. He gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is the cup of my blood, the blood of the new and everlasting covenant. It will be shed for you and for all for the forgiveness of sin. Whenever you do this, remember me. This is the blood of Christ. Living in eternal Christ, we feel your risen presence as the very life that pervades and yet transcends our bodies and our minds. We realize you are the way, the truth, and the life, and we're grateful to share in your body and your blood. May our participation in these divine mysteries transform us into one in your mystical body, the true body of Christ. For the glory of God, our Creator, for the glory of God's work here on earth, and so that our joy may be complete. We pray this in your most holy and precious name. Amen. I thank you each for your presence here this evening, and trust that the Word of God is alive and active in your life, growing through you to others. The love of God, the grace of Christ, the peace, presence, and power of the Holy Spirit is yours, now and always. Amen.